KTTK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTBK Sherman-Denison, KTDK Sanger. You're listening to The Hardline with Mike Reiner, Greg Williams, and Friendly Cobra on Dallas-Fort Worth's original all-sports station, Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
E-News is on the way here in just a little bit, so I'm sure everyone will want to stand by for that. We are out here at the Byron Nelson, the EDS Byron Nelson Classic today on the TPC course. And on our phone now, Grego, we are joined by... That's right. Tournament. Synonymous with this tournament.
They should add his name to it.
Synonymous with this show and synonymous with golf in this tournament and on this show, the great Bruce Litsky joins us now.
Good afternoon, Hardline.
I got to tell you, Bruce, I came out here and the first thing I did was look at the first page of the leaderboard and I looked for your name and it wasn't there.
And you've lost interest since then,
haven't you? Pretty much, yeah.
Totally.
And then I said, where's Bruce Litsky? Because I know he's not on the second page. And they said, well, he's not playing in it. I'm like, I'm out.
Well,
I have no interest in this tournament.
I made the decision a little while ago. It's sort of like if you saw a young guy and an old guy and they both had a lot of money, which one would you try to beat up first? The young guy that might be able to outrun you and beat the crap out of you, or the old, overweight fart that you know you can outrun? I just decided to beat up on the old one. the EDS Byron Nelson is for the young guys, and my son will be out there this weekend, but I'm leaving it to the young boys.
You're staying with your own kind, huh? Yeah.
Why do you think I work
right
with Reiner?
There with you.
Why do you think I work with Reiner every day? It's the same principle.
See, what I was hoping you'd do, Bruce, is play both in the same weekend, because I guarantee you could do that. You could play a morning round here and then play in the afternoon round, you know, wherever the Champions Tour is,
yep,
and just win them both.
Yeah, that hadn't been done yet.
Just hog all the money.
I'll consider that and then just throw it in the trash.
Did you hear Tiger mention you yesterday?
No.
He was talking about his swing and his swing problems and whatever, and some guy was asking him, and finally he was like, look, I'm not Bruce Litsky, okay?
Seriously, like, did he?
Yeah, I swear to you he did.
Well, see, and I think he has just, he has broken just about every one of my golf rules. Why somebody that is as great as he has been would tinker with his golf swing? Winning the U.S. Open by 15 shots, that's not good enough. You think you can be a little better than that? You win the British Open by 9 or 10 shots. Why would you tinker with a golf swing when you are number one? You're way above everybody else, and he's paying the price for it now. And I just believe in keeping things real simple, and he already had a great golf game. Now, I don't think he can get much better than he was 3 or 4 years ago, and he's kind of paying the price now for his experimenting. And, you know, he's a great talent. He's going to continue to win, but he breaks a lot of those rules that I really believe in.
We know that you don't ever tamper with your swing. You never have. Have you ever been tempted to tamper with it? Maybe you hit a streak where things weren't going real well, you weren't playing real well. Did you ever think about, well, maybe I should look at this?
It's been 30 years since my swing kind of evolved, and I haven't changed one thing in those 30 years. But early on in this 30-year streak, I would come to some golf courses where my left to right shot just wasn't really good. I was Augusta National is one of them where you really almost have to draw the ball to have an advantage. And I'd play that tournament and think, you know, maybe I ought to really learn to hit a hook, and maybe I need to have 4 or 5 or 6 different golf swings. But then I'd go to the next tournament and I'd find out that old fade worked in Houston, and it worked at the Byron Nelson, it worked here and there. And I eventually found out there's only a few courses where my fade doesn't work. And over a year's time, most of those courses do work. And I think that's what Tiger was talking about with his Colonial comments. And without a doubt, Colonial's design does not fit Tiger's kind of game. Just like there are golf courses that don't fit my kind of game. Tiger doesn't like to hit irons off the tee or a 3-wood or something like that. But if you read the other comments of other guys, there are other guys that do hit lots of drivers there. So it truly isn't a favorite golf course of his, and I understand those comments. And like I said, I had courses just like that, too, that I would either only play intermittently or sometimes not at all. So that's I don't think Tiger's comments were a knock on Colonial. It's just not his kind of a golf course.
And not only that, Bruce, if you tried to train to change your swing, you'd have to practice.
That's exactly right, Greg.
And you don't want to practice.
Yeah, you can have four or five or six different golf swings to hit a high fade, low hook, high hook, all those things. But, boy, you better be willing, not only on the weeks that you're playing golf, but every day that you're home on a two-week vacation, you better be on the practice tee working to perfect all six of those swings so you can head back out and work on it some more.
And boy,
as you know, that goes against my grain, too.
Would that cut into the fishing? Oh, my gosh, that cut into the fishing.
It leads to about 4 divorces in your life. I've chosen to take another path, and I'm pretty happy with mine.
Have you ever beaten D.A. on the Champions Tour, and do you think you ever will?
Never. Not once.
Is that Giorgio?
Yeah, Giorgio. Hi, Bruce.
Well, Giorgio, I'm pretty upset that D.A. stole the one tournament that I thought I was going to win every time I played, the SAS Championship in Raleigh. I won the first two times, fully expected to win last year, and D.A., I allowed D.A. to come in.
Yeah.
And win that tournament.
Didn't y'all tie a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. We both finished second in Birmingham, and then I beat DA in Austin last week. So
I don't know if that's official yet. I think they're still looking into that.
Giorgio, do you know DA and I used to be damn good friends until you and the hard line started this thing up, and now we hate each other.
I know.
I love it like that, Bruce. It's the way it should be.
Now, okay, so you're a guy who respects Colonial and the Nelson, maybe equally. Do you prefer one or the other? I mean, do you hold one of those trophies on a higher level?
Well, I hold the Colonial Golf Course up. It's probably my second or third favorite all-time golf course. But I love the Byron Nelson because of Mr. Nelson, because of the facility there, the locker room, all the other things. And I've got 2 trophies from each one of those tournaments, so I can't say the trophies. The trophies are the same to me, but I hold them in different kinds of regard. And for me, Colonial is the golf course. I absolutely love the golf course, the history behind it. Ben Hogan over in Fort Worth, and, of course, Byron Nelson in Dallas. So there's a lot of differences, but I love them both.
Because we talked to a couple of guys who were saying that maybe when Mr. Nelson, whenever he dies, that this tournament's going to take a turn for the worse.
I don't think so. Not until the players that are playing the tour now have left, and maybe the young 15 and 18-year-old kids now that eventually go on the tour that maybe don't know who Mr. Nelson was and know what kind of person he was. But the players on tour now that have played in his event know what he's all about, and even if he were to pass away, that tradition will continue for a long, long time.
Do you think the young guys who are coming up in this game know much and are terribly interested in the history of golf?
No. Not very much. And really, I can't say my generation to a certain degree is. Ben Crenshaw is my generation's golf historian. He can read a book about Bobby Jones and just be brought to tears, which I don't understand any of that. But there's not many of us in my generation like that, and I don't think there's a whole lot in this young generation either.
Are you a big golf historian? I mean, do you go back and read about the history and kind of revel in the history?
No.
Or were you just a guy that was just good at it and can make a hell of a living?
It's what I decided I wanted my career to be, is to play golf professionally, to earn a living, and then once I got married, to provide for my family. And I am not a golf historian. And Ben Crenshaw has tried to bring me along. He's given me books, and I've read some books, and I just don't get it. I don't get it like Ben Crenshaw gets all the golf history, and so I've just left it alone. It's what I chose to do, really starting at the age of 8, and I couldn't have picked a better career. Golf has really come along big time. When I started in the 50s, golf wasn't much of a sport to take up as a career, and now it's things are looking pretty good these days if you're going to be a pro golfer.
Did you ever get to talk to Hogan for any extended period of time, like maybe after you won the Colonial in the early 80s?
Yeah, he would come to the Colonial Past Champions dinner on Wednesday nights, he and his wife Valerie. So I wouldn't call it extended talks, but Ben Crenshaw and I would go up and talk to him occasionally. And one of the greatest lines I ever heard, Ben and I finally worked up the courage, or Ben Crenshaw and I worked up the courage to just go shake hands with him. There's such a mystery around Hogan. And Crenshaw stuck his hand out and said, "Mr. Hogan, I just want to tell you what a pleasure it is to have you here tonight." And Ben Hogan looked at Crenshaw. He says, how did you win this tournament? You're the worst driver on the tour. How could you win this tournament?
Are you kidding me?
He did it, but he finally had, and then he had a smile on his face. He was dead serious when he said it. And Crenshaw and I couldn't speak, but finally, it was a great joke. And I have heard Hogan did have a good sense of humor. But Crenshaw and I were just waiting on every word, and when he spit that out, I was ready to crawl back to my chair because I hadn't done anything. I'd never won a Masters or anything, but he finally smiled about it, and we had a great laugh.
Hey, there's pretty good money on the Champions Tour now, too. UNDA picked up a pretty good check a couple weeks ago when y'all tied.
It is. It's fantastic. It's a great atmosphere, too, a lot more relaxed. But absolutely, I've been on the senior the Champions Tour now just a little over 2.5 years, and I think I've made a little over $4 million. That's fairly decent.
Week before you played in your first Champions tournament, and the only, I believe it was Lee Trevino, the only advice he gave you was watch out for your back because you're going to bend over picking up a lot of money.
Your back and your knees. He said, strengthen your knees and your back. And I said, well, my back and knees are in good. He says, no, I'm telling you, you're going to be picking up so much money that guys are dropping. You really need to strengthen those muscles.
Are you riding yet?
Riding cart?
Yeah.
No, I'm walking.
When will that come?
Actually, the golf carts are gone.
Are they hard?
Next year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No carts allowed in 2005.
All right, that's great.
And
man,
I'm announcing my retirement.
Well, Bruce, we ask you this every year, and you turn us down, but I got to hold up the tradition. Since you're not playing in Colonial, can we please have your parking place?
Your parking spot is right in front of the clubhouse. Don't let anybody take it away from me. It is it's designated for you boys, and I just hope to God they allow you guys back on the grounds. Neither tournament is the same without the hard line.
Hear that, Bruce? Hear that, Bruce?
Musers.
Hear that? We get his parking place right up there,
yep,
in front.
That makes me crazy.
Right up front.
These golf heathens do not deserve that parking space.
Yeah, like the Musers do.
Yes,
yeah,
we do.
Yeah.
I didn't know. We don't either, but these guys damn sure don't.
And I'm still waiting for the call to caddy.
Do you know one of the highlights of my career was having Giorgio follow me? Now, you know the hard line have never walked out.
No, they never go
course,
out there.
I did. Giorgio followed me for a few holes. It's been about 5 or 6 years ago, right in the morning, right after one of his. And actually, that was the same year that Gordo stepped. Gordo
he
had
was
me
interviewing
do,
you.
He had me do a 40 liner. I'm on the first hole. I've driven it in the left rough. Gordon stepped on my golf ball and then asked me to do a 40 liner for him. Those were the great old days.
How unstable is it that the great Bruce Litzen knows what a 40 liner is?
Good God.
And that's when you put ticket stickers all over your bag.
I mean, so people
pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for that sponsorship, and here's Bruce just putting ticket stickers all over his bag.
Boy, we knew it arrived then.
I'm terrifically loyal. Even though I didn't win a Hardy this year, I'm still terrifically loyal.
There's always next year.
I know it.
Always
know it.
Next year.
I know it.
Hey, man, it's always great to have you on. What are you playing again?
Actually, I've got next week off. My daughter graduates from high school, so I'm skipping next week's Champions event, and my next tournament is the Senior PGA in Valhalla, Kentucky.
Is that a major?
Yep. That is amazing.
Oh,
major of the year.
I'm sending out a warning to all those old guys out there. Look out. Here comes Bruce.
Did you win the last major of the year last year?
No. We the Senior Open is what I won, and we had a couple majors after that. So I need to get back into the back in the swing of those majors again.
Look out. Here he comes.
Yep. Prepare to be torn up.
My knees and my back are in great shape.
Good.
Oh, you'll need them. Holding those big. He's got more big checks than Happy Gilmore.
You will need them, man. Hey, thanks, Bruce. We'll talk to you later.
See you, boys.
All right, there he goes, the great Bruce Litzen.
Well, that's greatness.
That is greatness, isn't it?
$4 million in 2.5 years. I'm telling you, man, he and DA are out there just stealing money.
And see, the thing is, you know what I love about Bruce Litzen is he never compromised. He said, you know what, I'm going to raise my kids. I'm going to watch my kids play sports. I'm not going to play in all these tournaments. He didn't do it. And now that his kids have graduated, he is just killing them with money.
Yeah.
How great is that?
Awesome. All right, entertainment news is coming up next, I do believe.
A major engagement involving the greatest athlete that has ever stepped foot into this city.
Danny White's been married for years.
Shut up.